His divine healing. But most of all, I believe in Him. And I think if we'll just trust and believe in Him, then everything is going to be just fine. Everything is going to be just fine. Here in John chapter 6, John chapter 6, in verse 60, we're going to see where the discipleship of the individuals is being tested, and we're also being tested today. We're not being tempted because we are saved by the grace of God. But the Lord Jesus Christ, He is testing our faith. And I thank the Lord for that. He tests our faith. And He's not tempting us no more. Because we know what Satan wants to do. Satan, he tempts us to turn our back on the Lord. I'm going to say, like the old black preacher said one time, he said, I done come too far to turn back now. And I have. We have all come too far to turn back now. But here in John chapter 6 and verse 60. He's speaking to the disciples, discipleship, and he's speaking about the doctrine. And we need to remember that, yes, we need to remember the whole counsel of God. We need to remember the birth, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Without them four, you have no salvation. Because first of all, you have to have the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ before the Holy Spirit can even convict our soul. Not only that, we got to have the cross where He went up Golgotha's hill. And on that hill that day, He took my sin and your sin and placed them upon His shoulders that day. And they was heavy. You can go about, you can read about it. But where He gathered, before He got to the top of the hill, He was man. He was a God man, and He had fell to His knees. He was weary, and He could not go any further. So one of the disciples they had helped Him the rest of the way up. But Jesus was still bearing the cross. Then He went to the grave. And He wasn't just in any grave. He was in a grave that had been prepared for Him. Had been prepared for the others also. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, He did not even have a home for Him to lay His head down. Even the birds I hear, they had a nest that they could call home. But the Lord Jesus Christ, He didn't have no home. The only home that He had was in the homes of the people that would invite Him home. Back in 1980, the second Monday night in August of that year, I invited Him into my home. That He could come in and He could sup with me. And I could sup with Him. And we could have fellowship. But it says, many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doeth this offend you? When the Lord Jesus Christ, when they brought him to my home that evening, he was there, and I believe he said, if we could all recollect, we could all say, did he offend us? Did the individual offend us by sharing the gospel? No, he didn't offend me. Why? Because I knew something there was real. I knew it was something there that I was looking for, and I could not find it. But I'm so thankful that he found me. And he came to my home, and when he did, he allowed the Holy Spirit to convict my heart. And allowed the Holy Spirit to introduce him to me. And allowed the Holy Spirit for me to be introduced to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. People today, they don't know what they want. They're after this and they're after that. But if they would just think about one thing, if they just think about Jesus, think about the one that we preach about, the ones that we talk about, the ones we go out and we deliver the message to the people that we come in contact. If they would just concentrate on that one name, Jesus. You can go into the mall, you can go in the biggest building that you want to, and you can have as many people there as you want to. And all you have to do, all the people, they'll be murmuring, they'll be talking about this and they'll be talking about that. But all you have to do, if you want to hear a holy hush, all you have to do is say, Jesus! Quietness will come around. Why? Because if wondering where that noise came from. We don't say it enough. We as Christians today, we don't do enough for the Lord. I don't. But I sure am glad that he don't condemn me because of what I don't do now. Because God the Father, he looks at me as if, well, I don't have no sin. But I know that I do sin every day. And I've come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is what? Death. We'll go to a job. And yes, and we get on that job in the morning or tonight or whenever we have to go. And we'll work there for 40 hours or 36 hours that week. But as we working there, as we go about working on our job, what we was hired to do, we're getting a wage for it. We're getting some kind of monetary goods for it. We're getting some, not monetary goods, but we are getting some inheritance that's going to last a lifetime in serving the Lord. We should not have on our hearts to go out here and think about making a wage on doing the gospel and doing what God has asked us to do. We must always remember that He saved us for a reason. And if you don't know what that reason is, you need to check up. I know what the reason is. The reason is for me not to sit down. Because see, if I sit down, then I'm going to stay right there. Did you realize that Jesus Christ, when He left and when He rose on that third day, when He went back to heaven, He was about ready to sit down. And His own Father told Him, says, "Not now, son. Not now. You're having some people down there that's having pity me parties that followed you. You have to go back. You have to go back and you have to tell the people once again, remind them of the things that they have forgot about." You know, and we do forget. We are the same way. We're the same way. We can say, "Well, we're going out here and we're going to do this, or we're going to do that," and you get somebody else to go with you to do that. But then you get to the place and you don't have no help. What do? You are likely not to do as much as you would have done if somebody had been there. That's one reason. That's the only thing that I want the Lord to do. Is touch my body where I can go back out here and where me and Brother Bill or me and somebody else can go out here and visit the people. Because if I'm not doing that, I'm not doing anything for the Lord. But that's what I'm there for. I'm there to uplift His name. "What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before?" You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, He wants the best for me. He wants the best for you. He wants the best for Faith Baptist Church. He wants the best for this body. You say, "Well, preacher, if He wants the best for Faith Baptist Church and the body of believers that's here, well, why hasn't He allowed other people to come in? Why hasn't He put it upon their heart to come? And why haven't we seen more people say, 'Well, it's not all about the people. It's about us and what we're doing and what we believe and what we trust in.'" I don't trust in mankind. I can't. Because mankind will let me down. Mankind will let you down. And yes, and I will let you down as your pastor. I don't mean to, but I will, because of what? Because of this stuff that's hanging on these bones right here that's called flesh. It's not saved. It's corrupt. But you got some people, some preachers out here saying, "Well, I'm saved. My soul is saved. And this flesh, I'm saved all the way through." And they say, this flesh is also saved. If that's the case, then why do they come and they'll say, one of these days, I'm going to receive that glorified body? Because if this flesh is saved, then it's glorified already. The flesh is not saved. The flesh is corrupt. Like the individuals that we are. We are corrupt individuals without the Lord Jesus Christ. We are corrupt if we are not here and where we need to be. We are corrupt people and not trying to be around somebody else and loving the Lord. I'd rather be around people. I'd rather be around you few people right here than a house full of people right here that just want to believe what they believe. Because they don't talk about what I want to talk about. They don't want to talk about my Savior. They don't want to talk about my Redeemer. They don't want to talk about the Holy Spirit. They don't want to talk about God the Father. Oh yes, we got one denomination out here. The only thing, the only one that they'll recognize is Jehovah. If an individual just spends their time on just believing and trusting in Jehovah and does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and does not believe in the Holy Spirit, then that individual is going to die and go to hell. Because that's it. You got to believe in the Trinity. You got to believe the three in one. You really do. Verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. It is the Spirit of God that quickeneth. That right there tells me one thing. That the Spirit of God does not wait a while before He comes in and teaches me how to do this. And teaches me what I need to do for the Lord. No, He comes in, and when He's there, what does He do? He brings conviction to my heart and to my soul. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. And they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray Him. And He said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it was given unto him of the Father. It was given unto him who? What? By the Father. The Father had told the Son what to do. Everything the Son done, He was following the Lord's will. And He was just waiting for the will of the Father. He's waiting on His will. He was waiting on His redeeming salvation that only He could give. Verse 6 in chapter 7, it says, then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. My time has not come, but your time is always ready. Verse 64 in chapter 6, but there are some of you that believed not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and whom and who shall betray him. Now, this right here is Judas right here who betrayed him. Now, I want to let you in on a little secret. You know who picked Satan to be one of his disciples? It wasn't his father. It was a son of God. He picked him to be one of his disciples. He picked all the disciples that he knew that he thought he could trust. See, he was man. Yes, he was God, but he was also a man at that time. So he picked the disciples as a man would pick someone today. As being a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or a leader within a church. We cannot assume within our heart and our soul that the individuals that we pick is going to live by this book 100% wholeheartedly. Because we can't. We can't. That's not good English, but we can't do it. We cannot stay true to this Bible. Why? Because we're still under the flesh. We still have the nature of sin. See, that was passed down from Adam and Eve all the way down. But then the second Adam, he come on the scene and he broke that tradition. He says, now you come unto me and I will give you rest. Come unto me. I will give you rest. I will be there when you are there. Verse 65, and he said, therefore I said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him by the Father. This is the Lord Jesus speaking, and he's telling the people there, he's telling the disciples there, that no man can come to me. No man can come to me and cry out where I will listen, except it were given unto him of my Father. The Son, Jesus Christ, he was doing everything he possibly could to please his Heavenly Father. To please his Father to the point that, yes, he would be accepted. And the people that would trust in Jesus would also be accepted. See, we don't go to the Father. We don't even go to Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes upon us. The Holy Spirit is what convicts my soul. He's the one that convicts your soul. He's the one that convicts our life each and every day and what we must do and who we must serve. But in that's not all. That's not all. what the Holy Spirit does. That's not all. See, the Holy Spirit just don't convict me and just say, well Don Allen, I done convicted your heart of your sin. Now it's going to be up to you now to go and ask the Lord Jesus to save you. It's going to be up to you . And don't get me wrong, what I'm about ready to say, because I believe it's a good possibility that when the Holy Spirit convicts an individual to the point that that individual is about to go to the Lord and the Lord is going to speak to them. I believe when the Holy Spirit convicts them and draws them, I believe that they're saved right there. Because something had to happen for them to go and trust in the Lord. Because if not, then they was the same individual that there's always was. I mean, when that individual at my home, when James Hughes, when he read the scripture there in Romans chapter 10, and when he read other scripture in the Bible, and he told me about the plan of salvation and what I must do. What I must do. Hey, if I myself went alone, just me, going to the Lord Jesus and asking the Lord Jesus to save my soul, I'd have never went to Him. I'd have never went to Him. Why? Because I would have been all alone. I would still have been in that sinful nature that I had. So the Holy Spirit came and convicted my heart, convicted my soul to the point that I knew some portion of my life had changed. The Holy Spirit has changed my heart to the point that I needed something else. I didn't need the same thing that I used to have. I didn't need the same thing that I was going to on the weekend. I didn't need the Skylarks, and I didn't need the places that I went to on the weekend then. I didn't need that. I needed something else that could touch me the way I could touch people. You know, we gotta realize, since we're saved, it's not about us no more. Since He saved my soul, it's not about me. It's not about what I can do for the Lord. I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I know that. But it's not about me anymore. It's about the people outside here. It's about the people that's walking and talking in sin. It's about them. That means that I have got to live the life that will be pleasing, first of all, to God the Father. That I got to have a life that be pleasing unto the Son of God. And I got to walk a life and talk a life that's pleasing unto the Holy Spirit. And not only that, I have got to walk the life and I've got to live the life for anyone else to believe and trust in me. Hey, just because I'm saved, that does not give me the right to go out here and tell somebody else, because they liable to say, well, I don't need nothing you've got to say. But Jesus Christ gives me the right to go to them, not to condemn them, not to belittle them, but to love them. And show them
His love through me.
And I reckon that was about one of the hardest things that I ever had to do. Was go up to an individual that wrongly done me. The one I hear and told some stuff on me that was not true. But when I saw him out in public, I went up to him and I said this. I said, I don't know what I've done to you, but I apologize to you. And it wasn't just him, it was other people around. Hey, I didn't want to have a stigma on my life to where that there would be somebody that will go up a road or that I may see in Walmart or Lowe's or somewhere like that. And they say, well, there goes old Donnie there. You know, I just don't believe a word he says. We need to be the bigger person. We need to be the biggest individual to the people that we talk to. And I don't know any other way to do it than to love God. Than to love God. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Walked no more with him. The Father had went to the disciples and told them what they must do. Yes, some of the disciples listened. Some of them didn't. Like Judas, he sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. And then you see over there, verses later, where Peter, he'd went out here and he had denied the Lord. He sold him out. And he went and he hung himself. See, people want to take scripture out of context. They want to put something else there that they can be satisfied on. But when you do that, you better watch. Where are you placing it? You better watch in what you say. Because the Lord, He knows everything that's going through your mind. Everything that's going through our mind. There's over the book of Peter. It says we need to have a mind like the Lord's. And we can. It's hard. That means you have to stay in the book. Don't never condemn nobody else. Because if I point my finger at you and condemn you, then I have to look at my fingers. Because I cannot point just one like this. I will point one, may condemn you, but I have to look. And I got three more that's pointing back at me. Other words, I'm three times worse than the individual that I point my finger to. So we must check up and
see what we're doing. Are we doing it because we love God? Are we just doing it because that's what the Christian should do? No. We should not have, don't let's have that mindset. We must do it because we love the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Not because I'm saved, but because of everything that they've done for me. Yes, I'm saved. I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm saved because that's what they done for me. They paid the price. Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price. Nobody else will ever die another death like that. No one in the Bible has ever died a death like that and rose again on the third day. No one else. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. And Father, we do thank you for your many, many blessings. Thank you, Lord, that we can love you. We can depend on you and put our trust in you, Father. Because we cannot put no trust in mankind, because mankind will let us down. But Father, even though that we are individuals, your fresh anointing, and Father, in your touch upon our lives, that what comes from these mouths we have, Father, will be come from the lips of God. Father, help me, Lord, that I may live the life that your Son, Jesus Christ, to where he can be lifted up, where he can be glorified. We just want to thank you, want to love you for what you've done for us. And Father, I thank you for what you're going to continue doing. Bless these people that come out tonight. Lord, we pray tonight something was said or done that will draw them a little closer to you. Father, help each one of us that we may get on the phone, or we may call somebody, or we may be able to go by and see somebody and invite them to the house of the Lord. Father, we thank you and we love you on this side of eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.